So one of the primary purposes, and arguably the primary purpose of the 75-day interval, is the regathering of Israel. And we're still looking at the ramifications of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And in the previous segment, we set forth the argument, the biblical argument in support for the four categories of people who are going to enter into the millennial kingdom: the church, the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, and believers and children under 7 years old. Now, the regathering of Israel takes place during this 75-day interval, which is spoken of in Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. And the regathering of Israel will consist of three different groups. First, there is the tribulation remnant at Bozrah in Edom. And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 we read, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And so for the period of the Great Tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, the woman, who is Israel, is supernaturally protected at a place that Scripture elsewhere identifies as Bozrah in Edom, modern-day Jordan. It's also known as Petra. And we've already read the cross-reference on at least a couple of occasions, Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6. In addition to the tribulation remnant, the regathering will consist of the Jewish remnant of the tribulation dispersion. And in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, we read about the 144,000 Jews who were witnessing for the Lord. And these Jews at that time, and likely throughout the entire tribulation, will be well dispersed throughout the globe. The third group that is going to be participating in the regathering of Israel is, as we stated in the last segment, the resurrected Old Testament saints. Now, the purpose of the regathering, or one of the purposes, one of the greatest purposes, is to fulfill the land covenant to Israel. So, a certain land was promised to a certain nation, Israel, and God is a God who keeps his covenants. And this covenant, the land covenant, has not been fulfilled to this day. In fact, it will not be fulfilled until the millennial kingdom day. And there are a number of Old Testament scriptures which deal with this, which arise out of Romans chapter 11. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 7, we read, turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain and the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. And then in verses 29 and 30 we read, and then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ does when he comes back at his return. The promise is to believing Israel, and it will not find fulfillment until the millennial kingdom. It is only to be enjoyed by those Jews who accept their true Messiah, the tribulation remnant, the Jewish remnant of the tribulation dispersion, and the resurrected Old Testament saints. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30 is also part of that conditional covenant with God, which God makes with believing Israel. And we read, "Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you." So there's the indication of the dispersion of the Jewish remnant of the tribulation. "And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. And then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So this ultimately will be fulfilled in its final fulfillment in the millennial kingdom, not only in the spiritual sense, but also in the physical sense. We find in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 that the nation of Israel in the millennial kingdom is in full possession of the land. And then the folks then will establish memorial sacrifices to celebrate the work of the Lord God that had been done on their behalf. And finally, I'm going to leave you with this. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 24, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 through 6, section 49 in your outline. The millennial kingdom, also known as the messianic kingdom. Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6 reads, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the first resurrection in all of its installments is chronologically complete now, as we get to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 in the book of Revelation. This is why we went through this exercise of looking at who's going into the millennial kingdom. All of the saved will enter into the millennial kingdom. Now, we have a reference to 1,000 years. 1,000 years, hence the millennium, is the exact duration of the millennial kingdom. And this phrase 1,000 years is repeated 6 times in Revelation chapter 20. So the Lord intends that we take this literally. We always take scripture literally unless there's a very good contextual reason not to, and there are those times, but here there's not a good reason to take the 1,000 years as anything other than literal. So we're going to understand this as 1,000-year period. Now, the reference to the rest of the dead is those who didn't enter the millennial kingdom. In other words, the unsaved will not be in the millennial kingdom, but they're actually going to show up later. They're going to appear at the great white throne judgment, which we're going to be talking about when we get to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. a couple of outline sections from now. We have a reference to the second death, and the second death is a reference to spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. Now, it doesn't mean that one ceases to exist. We reject soul sleep, and if you stay tuned, we'll go take a look at that heretical doctrine and deal with it. But for now, we're simply going to define the second death as spiritual death and eternal conscious separation from God. Note the parables to the second birth of John chapter 3, when Jesus affirms to Nicodemus that one must be born again, or born anew, born from above, to enter into the kingdom of God and to find eternal security through relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We all have a physical birth, and we all have a physical death, unless we're part of the rapture generation, or, also this goes for those folks who will be retrofitted for the kingdom, having survived the tribulation. They're going to be have their bodies immediately changed, but they're not going to go anywhere. They're just going to go into the millennial kingdom. So those folks are going to be going through something amazing, kind of like us with the rapture, where those who are still alive will be raptured and caught up with the Lord with the air. But those of us who are dead, those church-age saints who are dead, are going to have those new bodies reunited with the old. And the Old Testament folks are going to be experiencing the same thing in their order, and the tribulation saints as well. But okay, moving back here, the majority, the vast majority of human beings who have ever lived and ever will live, will experience physical death. So this is just simply a fact of life. But only some folks, only those who believe, experience a second birth. But those who experience a second birth will always forever be with the Lord in heaven. So they're not going to be experiencing a second death. So believers are going to have two births in one death. But the unbeliever is not going to have that spiritual birth, and therefore they're going to partake of the second death. So the unbeliever is going to have one birth and two deaths. So the believer has a physical birth, a spiritual birth, and then a physical death. But spiritually they live forever. The unbeliever has a physical birth, a physical death, and then a spiritual death. Pretty awful thing. And that's an understatement. Now, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, we read about the fact that those over whom the second death has no power shall be priests of God and of Christ. And Peter talks about that with regard to church age believers. In the New Testament, we've got Jesus Christ, our high priest, and all believers are priests. So we don't have this priesthood in the manner of that we had in the Old Testament, or that some of the churches teach today, some of these denominations. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 reads, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Okay, the next point here is, with regard to the millennial kingdom, the basis for the millennial kingdom is the new covenant. And the new covenant is transdispensational in so far as, although the new covenant was originally given to Israel, it was expanded to the Gentiles, and the results of the new covenant are eternal, even lasting into the millennial kingdom. So in Jeremiah 31 through 34, we have the record of the institution of the new covenant, and we'll pick that up in the next segment.